please turn to Mark 10, verse 17. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" The rich young ruler, the man in the text, he has a lot going for him. But he knows that he's missing something. He's missing the most important thing of all. He's missing a saving relationship with Almighty God. Many people never realize that nothing in this world is more important than a soul's salvation. Nothing. Christ taught in Mark 8, verses 36 to 37, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Gain the whole world and lose your soul. Quite a statement. Quite a statement. You can gain the whole world. You can spend your whole life gaining the whole world and in the end lose your own soul. The man in our text, he knows he has a need and he desires to do something about it. Maybe that's why you're listening today. You know you have a need and you desire to do something about it. The man in the text, it says, came running to Jesus. He came running to Jesus. This shows us that he senses the urgency of his need. Do you sense the urgency of your need? He came running to Jesus Christ. If you do not know Christ today, come running to Christ. The man in the text not only ran to Christ, but he knelt before Christ. What a picture of the deity of Jesus Christ. Here a man comes and kneels before Jesus Christ. You only kneel before the deity, before God. He knelt before Christ. This shows us that he understands that there's something very special about Jesus Christ. Something very special. Also, he comes to Jesus while Jesus is on the road, right out in the front of everybody. He's not hiding out about it. He comes while Christ is in the way, on the road. Jesus is in the middle of the road when this young man comes and bows before him. He's not ashamed. He's not ashamed to admit that he has a spiritual need. Do you understand today that you have a spiritual need today? And he came pondering the issues of eternity. Do you have eternity on your mind? He wants to know how he might inherit eternal life. He's thinking about eternal matters. Running to Christ, kneeling before Christ, not ashamed of Christ, and asking the question about inheriting eternal life. Are you asking that question today? Are you fearful for your soul today? Are you taking the words to heart today? What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeit, lose his soul? This young man, let's admit it, he has a lot going for him. He had it all. Yet with all his power, all his possessions, and all of his privileges, he still does not know the answer to the greatest of all questions. To the greatest of all questions. When I was a child, I used to ask the question, what am I here for? What is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of a life? The man knows a lot of things, but he's forced to admit that he does not know the way to heaven. He comes to Jesus Christ wanting to know about eternal life. How do I inherit eternal life? You got to admit, you don't find many people who are thinking about eternity. Most people are so wrapped up in themselves and their lives that they have no time for the thoughts of God, for any thoughts of God. Heaven or hell or where they'll go when they die. They're so wrapped up in accumulating stuff. Most folks are just like this young man. We have it all. We live in one of the wealthiest societies in the history of the world. We have so much here that the thoughts of natural men and women hardly ever turn to the matters of God, heaven, hell, or eternity. It's the house, the job, the car, the family, the health, the wealth, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, where's my security, when I retire, what do I got in the bank? We live in the midst of one of the most sophisticated and intellectually advanced cultures the world has ever known. Yet people still do not know the answer to the most basic and important question of all. This is the most important question of all in life. People do not know how to be saved. And Christ in this text is going to tell this man. Man can split atoms, put men on the moon, harness the power of the sun, wind and rain. But he does not know how to be saved. The sad fact is most people don't even care to know. At least the young man was concerned about his soul. And the question is, are you concerned? And if you're not, you should be. Death is coming. The scripture clearly teaches that. Hebrews 9, verse 27 tells us it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. One day, real soon, you will leave this world forever. And when you do, you will go to either heaven or you will go to hell. The place you go when you die will be determined by what you do with Jesus Christ while you are alive. If you are not saved, you need to consider where you will go when you die. This young man, he is concerned about the right issue. He is concerned about the right issue, and he's in front of the right person to do something about it. Acts 4, verse 12 tells us, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other name given under heaven by where we must be saved. John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus Christ. No one. You'll be saved by no other name but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He will not change. There's salvation in no other name. The man in the text is before the right person. This man gets a lot of things right in his encounter with Jesus Christ. He humbles himself. The man runs to Christ, kneels down before Christ. 1 Peter 5:5 comes to mind. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The man gets a lot of things right with the Lord, but it is the things that he gets wrong. Please pay close attention. It is the things that he gets wrong that causes him all the trouble. And this is what most people, their problem is. Most people, this is their biggest problem, that they get wrong. Basically, this is what all religions on the planet get wrong, except for true Christianity. The man in our text says this, a good teacher, he kneels before Christ and then asks him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What must I do? Every religion on the planet has a list of what you do and what you don't. Do this, and you shall earn heaven. Do this, do this, do this. Depending on what religion, they have their laundry list of the things that you must do to inherit eternal life. He thinks he can earn salvation. He's looking for a do-oriented salvation. He wants to have a hand in it. He wants to be involved in it. He wants to get his salvation like he has gotten everything else in life. He wants to earn it for himself. I got straight A's. I went to school. I worked my way up the ladder. I worked hard. I worked 7 days a week. I worked 12 months a year. I worked 52 weeks a year. I earned everything that I got. He wants to earn his salvation. He thinks salvation is a reward. He thinks that if he can just do enough of good things, then God will give him eternal life as a reward. Salvation is not a reward for faithful service. It is the free gift of God. It is grace. We can never do enough to reach a place where God would reward us with salvation. If we could, then Christ died in vain. What's the whole point of Jesus Christ coming? He had to earn salvation for us. He had to fulfill the law. He had to perfectly obey the law of God. He had to shed his blood for the sin of the people. He had to be the lamb. He had to be the substitute for us. Salvation is not a reward for service. It is the gift of God. It's the gift of God's grace. John 10, verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. I give them eternal life. It is a gift. Many people still believe that salvation is based on do, no matter how much they read the scripture. They believe that they have to do something to be saved. Be it join a church, get baptized, teach Sunday school, preach, give, become a moral person, stop sinning, and the list goes on and on forever. Yet the Bible very clearly tells us in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Notice you have been, not you're going to be. You have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Notice, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Lest anyone should boast. If you're in heaven and somebody else is not in heaven, there's only one reason why you're in heaven. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. Earned for you by Jesus Christ. Titus 3. Verse 4. Titus 3, verses 4 and 5. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, not by works of righteousness. Salvation through Jesus Christ is a gift. Let me read a little section of scripture to you that is totally opposite than any religious system on the planet. It's totally opposite of everything that you've ever been taught or have ever thought. Romans 4, verses 1 through 5. Now listen to this text very closely. And Father, I would pray that you would open the eyes of people as I read this text to them, these five verses. For this is the opposite of religion. Romans 4, verses 1 through 5. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Notice verses 4 and 5. Notice very, very closely. This is the meaning of life. This is how you inherit eternal life. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Notice, to the one who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies, notice, the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. To the one who does not work. Did you get that? The one who does not work. That blows up every religious system on the planet. Every religious system says do. And this religious system, true Christianity, what Jesus Christ taught and what Jesus Christ accomplished is this. It's done. Not do. Salvation through Jesus Christ is about done. Not do. It's done. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he cried out, "Tetelestai." It is finished. It is finished. He did it all, and there's nothing you and I can do to add to it or to get it on our own. You cannot add to it. You cannot earn it. There is only one thing that you can do. You can believe it. There's the gospel. You can believe it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You cannot jump high enough, far enough. You cannot somehow think that you're earning God's favor. God simply gives his favor because that's what he is. He's a giving God. He's a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of love, that freely bestows salvation upon those that will simply come to him with nothing in their hands but their sin and give their sin to him. You can't give your good works to him. The Bible says that your works are as filthy rags. That's your good works, so never mind what your sin looks like. The good news is today, friend, that you could be saved. You can be saved by simply coming to Christ today, turning to Christ, giving up on all of your stuff, your good works, and you think that you're a good person and everything like that. Simply come to Jesus Christ today. Don't be like the rich young ruler in the text, saying, "What must I do?" You want to know what to do? Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. As it said in the book of Acts, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's what Paul told the Philippian jailer. The Philippian jailer. Let me read it. Acts 16, verses 30 and 31. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Salvation was achieved by Jesus Christ when he died on the cross and rose again. It is received by us by simple faith. Salvation has never been about what we can do, but it has always been about what he did.